It's time now for the Sermon of the Week, a full-length Bible message meant to fan the flame of world evangelism in your heart and life. And now your host, the President and General Director of Macedonia World Baptist Missions, Dr. Scott Caudle.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell, and thank you, dear radio listening friend, for tuning us in for this Saturday's Sermon of the Week. My name is Scott Caudle, and I'm blessed to serve as the General Director of Macedonia World Baptist Missions of Braselton, Georgia. Thank you so much for tuning us in. We had a great response from last week's Sermon of the Week. We sent out a few messages by way of email and text, and I'll be glad to do the same today if the Lord touches your heart with the message. I'm sharing a message today that I preached at the New Grace Baptist Church of Concord, North Carolina in August of 2019 during their World Missions Revival. My friend, Pastor Alan Montgomery, pastors the church there, and they're doing a wonderful job reaching their community, their state, their country, and yes, even the world, with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm very thankful for supporting pastors like Pastor Montgomery, and I'm thankful for the burden they have to reach others with the gospel. While there that week, I preached a message out of Luke chapter number 5 that I entitled, "The Ones That Got Away." Of course, here in this chapter, we often read of the multitude of fish that were caught, but I'm afraid more times than not, we never focus on the best that was missed in the text. We often focus on the fish that were caught without ever giving a second thought to the fish that got away. And I wonder how many souls will be lost. I wonder how many fish will get away because we make the same mistake that Peter made here in the verses of Scripture that I've called your attention to today in Luke chapter number 5. My prayer today is that as we listen to the broadcast, we will learn from Peter's mistake so that we never have to live to regret the ones that got away. I'm praying today that your heart, that my heart, will be stirred afresh and anew for world evangelism as we listen to the message today. Father, in Jesus' name, as we go to the pulpit of the New Grace Baptist Church of Concord, North Carolina, I pray you'd use the message today in a mighty way for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. And in just a very few moments, I'm going to be reading, with the help of the Lord, the first 6 verses that go to make up this, the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Of course, when you study your Bible, you'll discover the Gospel of Luke was written by a Gentile. This particular book of the Bible's namesake with other Gentiles in mind. And therefore, all throughout the 24 chapters that go to make it up, the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ is greatly emphasized. However, the same gospel that emphasizes that Jesus was the Son of Man is the same gospel that emphasizes that Jesus is the Son of God as well. May I say to you tonight and say without apology, Jesus was then, Jesus is today, and forever will be the God-man. Jesus is as much God as if he had never been man, but he is as much man as if he had never been God. Jesus is the God-man. And nowhere in the gospel before us is that truth made any clearer than here in the chapter that God has directed our hearts to tonight as we witness the mighty miracle of the multitude of fishes that were caught by the Apostle Peter according to verse number 6 of this chapter. However, tonight, with the help of the Lord, I felt impressed of the Lord to call your attention, if I may, to a truth that is often overlooked while considering the chapter before us. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the truth of the missed miracle within the text before us. Now, I too, just like Brother Simeon, have been to church all my life. I told the Sunday school class Sunday morning when I was a little boy, I had a very serious drug problem. My mama and daddy drugged me to church every time the doors were open. I've been in church all my life. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I have never, ever heard a message like I'm getting ready to preach to you tonight. In all of my years of going to church, I've never heard anybody preach this message. And I say that because oftentimes when we read this particular chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we focus on the good that we see, especially in the first verses of the chapter, without ever focusing on the best that was missed. We often focus on the fish that were caught without ever taking the time to consider the fish that got away. And therefore, with that in mind, I want to preach on this thought tonight, the ones that got away. If you're able, would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? I believe with all of my heart that God has forever preserved these verses in our Bibles tonight in order to reveal to both you and I how we can keep fish, how we can keep souls of men from getting away in the future as we consider the great need of reaching the world with the gospel. Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. Now, I want to encourage you to leave your Bibles open as we'll be using it all throughout the course of the message tonight. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, you've already met with us tonight in a very, very special way. I want to thank you for the wonderful presentation we've been blessed to witness tonight. Oh, God, use it to touch our hearts afresh and anew for the great need in Australia. Father, thank you for the wonderful singing. Lord, thank you for what you've already done thus far in the service. But I pray now that you would take your precious, inspired, inerrant, infallible word and do much more than just challenge us. Yes. My Father, I pray you would change us that we may be more like thee. Help me, I pray. I'm nothing without you. I want to be a blessing tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm preaching tonight on the thought, the ones that got away. I have no doubt that, like all of you, you've heard many Bible messages from the text that I've just been blessed to read within our hearing. Generally, the message I've heard, messages I hear, goes something like this. First of all, as we look into these verses of Scripture here in Luke chapter 5, we see, number one, what the Bible says about the men. The Bible is careful to teach us two very distinct truths about the men here in the text. They were not only fishing men, they were failing men, because according to verse number 5, they had fished all the night, so says the Word of God, and yet they had caught nothing. And so the Bible teaches us about the men. Secondly, the Bible teaches us about the master, and particularly about what the Lord Jesus told these fishing, these failing men, according to verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Therefore, we can certainly gather the master's message to these men was twofold. Launch out, let down. That, ladies and gentlemen, was the twofold message of the master.
And by the way, the Master's message for the fishing men then is His message to New Grace Baptist Church, to Safe Harbor Baptist Church, this very night. Launch out and let down. And therefore, yes, the same Bible that is careful to teach us about the men is the same Bible that is careful to teach us about the Master as well. And then, of course, the text teaches us, of course, about the miracle. I say that because verse 6 says, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break." Yes, there's a wonderful message here concerning the miracle. And of course, it really was a miracle. I've preached about that miracle before. If you're a preacher, you preached about the miracle before. And it was a great and mighty miracle. I mean, after all, can you just imagine how this mighty miracle impacted these men's lives? Hey, we especially have record of it in the text, impacting Peter's life. Look at verse number 9 in the chapter. Verse number 9 declares, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken." In fact, verse number 11 of the chapter says, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." So yes, we see what the Bible says about the men. We see what the Bible says about the Master. But then we see what the Bible says about the miracle. And again, certainly the truths concerning the men, the Master, and the miracle is a message in and of itself. However, again, for just a very few moments tonight, I want to call your attention, if I may, to a few truths from this particular text that more times than not are simply overlooked altogether. Truths that I trust God will use tonight in order to challenge us to refuse to settle for what's good when God desires for each of us to experience what's best. Now, I'm sure, having said that, some of you are desiring to ask, "Preacher, what's best?" Why, preacher, according to verse number 6, the Word of God reveals that a great multitude of fishes were caught, brother. Hey, preacher, can it get any better than that? Can I take my Bible tonight and allow the Word of God to answer and say to you, yes. In fact, I not only believe that God desired more for Peter than what Peter experienced, but I want to take my Bible and prove to you how I know why. Three truths directly from your King James Bible that teach each of us about the ones that got away. First of all, while looking into the first few verses of Luke chapter 5, let me call your attention to number 1, the obedience that was marginal. By the time we get to verse number 3, Jesus has entered into Simon Peter's ship, and according to the text, he is teaching people while sitting in the ship. After a while, when his lesson comes to a close, verse number 4 says that he said to Simon Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Now, don't miss this. Did you happen to notice that Jesus instructed Peter to let down his nets? N-E-T-S. Peter, let down your nets, plural, for a draft. Not just one net, but Jesus instructed Peter to let down and to launch out and to let down several nets. In fact, you and I alike ought to consider the fact that Peter was a professional fisherman before God called him into the gospel ministry. And therefore, it goes without saying, there's no telling. Are you listening? There's no telling how many nets Peter had. You can rest assured, brother, he had a lot more than just one. And therefore, since Jesus never specifically asked for a specific number of nets in verse number 4, I have no doubt, Pastor Montgomery, that Jesus was talking about all of them. Sure. Let them all. I feel Jesus preaching tonight. Let him on. It seems like from the portals of glory, Jesus is saying, man, preacher, tell him, show him what I want you to show him tonight from the pages of the Word of God. Jesus said, Peter, I want you to take every single, I want you to go to the back of the ship. I want you to get that net you've got tucked away there. I want you to get the net that you've got tucked away in the middle. I want you to go below. I want you to get every net, every last one of them, let down the nets. Jesus never specifically asked for a certain number, and therefore, since he used the word N-E-T-S, since he spoke in the plural, I have no doubt in my mind that he meant every one of them. Do you know what he was saying to Peter? Hold nothing back. Hold nothing back. However, according to verse 5, Peter didn't let down the nets. He didn't let down the plural nets. He only let down one. Let's consider the text. Peter said in verse 5, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, if I word, I will let down the singular net. Here, ladies and gentlemen, we see obedience that was marginal. Since Simon Peter obeyed, but he obeyed marginally. I submit to you, according to the Bible, Peter traded what was best for that which was good. His obedience was marginal. And I use that word marginal tonight because it is a word that literally means minimal for requirements. The word marginal means almost insufficient. Yes, having let down one net in verse 6, the Bible teaches us that a great multitude of fishes were enclosed. However, how many more fish? Are you listening to me tonight? How many more fish could have been caught if Peter would have held nothing back? If he would have let down every net that he possibly had? And therefore, tonight, I want you to focus with me for just a very few moments on the ones that got away. My prayer this evening while doing so is that God would get us to the place this week that we would become discontented with good and break our hearts for that which is best. Hey, let me say it like this tonight. New Grace Baptist Church, praise God for what you've done for world evangelism in the past. Praise God for the souls that you've led to the Lord in the past. Praise God for what you have done to send missionaries to the field in the past. However, the souls that have been saved in the past are just a small portion of a greater miracle that God wants to do with His church in the days to come. And therefore, He sent me all of the way from the mountains of North Georgia to say to you afresh and anew, launch out and let down. Hold nothing back. Keep going. Do what God has called you to do and do it with all of your heart. Oh, the ones that got away. The obedience that was marginal. Did you know when you study your Bible, you'll discover that out of the millions of Jews that were delivered out of the bondage of Egypt's land, only 2 were allowed to enter into the land flowing with milk and honey. That, of course, was Joshua and Caleb. Have you ever taken the time to do a specific study in your Bible concerning the life and labors of this man by the name of Caleb? Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 8 teaches us that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, he wholly followed the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 36 teaches us that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 12 teaches us that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Do you know what the Bible teaches me about this man by the name of Caleb? The Bible teaches me that Caleb did not obey God merely marginally. Caleb obeyed God completely. When it came to his giving, he held nothing back. When it came to his praying, he held nothing back. When it came to his laboring for God, he held nothing back. Therefore, instead of enjoying the good of the land, hey, brother, Caleb got to enjoy the best of the land. And I know what you're thinking. I understand that those millions of Israelites who were delivered out of the bondage of Egypt's land, they enjoyed water out of great depths. They enjoyed the quail that God sent from heaven. They feasted on the manna. But I want you to know only two enjoyed the best of God. And that was the ones that held nothing back, that went all the way with God. And I want you to know tonight, God, drive this truth deep inside your hearts tonight. There's nothing wrong with the good of God, but the best of God is much better than the good of God. As wonderful as it was for Peter to witness a multitude of fishes being caught, having let down a single net, can you just imagine, Brother Josh? Can you imagine how much better it would have been if Peter would have sold out completely, if he would have left nothing back? But instead, the Bible teaches us about the obedience that was marginal. According to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, the Old Testament prophet Samuel asks a very sobering question. Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken unto the fat of rams. The obedience that was marginal. Just a few days ago, our hero, our mentor, Dr. Stinnett Ballew, went home to be with the Lord. I tell folks a lot of times in the missions conferences, the missions revivals that I'm preaching now, whenever I go to preach a missions revival or a missions conference, there are two books that I have with me at all times. First of all, I have the book, the inspired, inerrant, infallible, impeccable, indestructible, amen, Word of the living God of glory. Yes. But I not only have the book, I also carry with me at all times Dr. Stinnett Ballew's book on missions, missions, missions. Yes. Dr. Stinnett Ballew was used of God to probably raise money, more money for missions in the independent Baptist circuit than any other man that has lived on this planet. I'll never forget when Dr. Ballew first challenged me to start keeping up with the faith promise totals that of churches that I preached in. I was challenged by that. And I said, well, Dr. Ballew, have you always done that? He said, God burdened my heart about 20 years ago to start keeping up with the faith promise totals of churches that I preached missions conferences in. And he told me this, not in a bragging way, but he was trying to challenge me to do more than I've ever done for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told me, preacher, for the last 20 years, he said, I guess it was about 20 years ago that I reached the $1 million mark. He said, every year since then, I've had the blessing of being used of the Lord to, in a small way, encourage churches all over the world to raise money for missions, to give money so that others could hear the gospel. And for the last 20 years, every year, I've helped churches raise at least $1 million a year for world evangelism. Now, you can do the math, brother. Do you think when he got to heaven and looked into the face of the one that loved him enough to shed his blood for him on the cross of Calvary, that he wanted to say, oh no, I wish I wouldn't have wasted all that time? Oh no, friend, he was glad that he held nothing back for the glory of God. In Dr. Stennett Ballou's book, Missions, 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 Dr. Ballou makes a very sobering statement that by the good grace of God, I want to share with every church that I preach a missions revival in. Dr. Ballou said this: most churches today have a token missions outreach. They support enough missionaries to enable them to be able to say they support missions works and they support missionaries, but many of them are not interested in doing more than what is marginally required. Now look, I understand that's not the case here. I understand that New Grace Baptist Church, listen, many, many years ago, under the leadership of your man of God, world evangelism got beyond your head and found a lodging place in your heart. But I want you to know, I go to churches that's five times the size of this congregation, and they don't give half that you're giving to world evangelism. Do they support missionaries? Yes. Are they getting the gospel around the world? Yes. But I wonder how much more could be done if they just let all the nets down. I wonder how much more could be done instead of spending millions and millions of dollars on buildings and facilities and parking lots if pastors would get under a greater burden to send missionaries to the field, plant churches on the field. I'm wondering tonight if we're only obeying marginal. Hey, can I ask you this? Let's make this thing real personal tonight. What about you personally? Can I just make a confession tonight? For years, I gave to missions marginally. For years, in spite of what God said in His Bible, in spite of letting all the nets down, I'd let down a net. I gave marginally. But after a while of giving marginally, God spoke to my heart about putting more nets down. And He burdened my heart to do more. I heard about faith, promise, missions, giving. And God not only burdened my heart, He burdened my precious wife's heart. So you know what we started doing? We started giving by faith. We started giving in a complete obedient fashion, trusting that God would give through us what He would never give to us. And by the good grace of God, I never want to go back to marginal obedience. Now, walk with me in your Bible. You see the obedience that was marginal. Secondly, you see the objects that were misplaced. You may begin to wonder, preacher, if Peter had many nets, and the Bible teaches us that he only let down one, where were the rest of them? Well, in order to answer that, let's examine the Scriptures. Look, if you would please, at verse 2. According to the latter portion of verse 2, the Bible teaches us that these fishermen were gone out of their ships and they were washing their nets. Now remember, these were professional fishermen, and therefore they depended on these nets to make their living. Great care and time was invested in taking good care of these nets. Now, if I had a net, you think I'm going to spend time washing it? But you see, I'm not a professional fisherman. These nets were these men's living. They had to go the extra mile to take care of them. They spent a lot of time with these nets. And that certainly is the case here in the text before us. So much, in fact, that when Jesus instructed them to let them all down, it would have been, listen, very inconvenient for them. I mean, they would have had to have got out of their comfort zone. I mean, think about it, brethren. They had just cleaned those nets. That had taken a lot of work, a lot of time. That took a lot of effort on their part. That's why when Jesus admonished them to let down their nets, plural, they were only interested in letting down one of them. Let me say it like this tonight. They were very interested in only doing that was convenient. To let any other net down other than one would have been very inconvenient for them. Even though each of those nets were created to be let down, they only let down one. The rest of them were merely objects that had been misplaced. Let me put it like this tonight. Those nets were on the shore when Jesus intended for them to be in the sea. Those nets were in waiting when Jesus intended for them to be in the water. Why? I'll tell you why. Because these fishermen wanted their comfort more than they wanted the catch. Yes. Their nets were misplaced. And church, let me remind you tonight that if we're going to catch fish, if we're going to see souls saved to the fullest extent, it's going to take a combined effort on our part. And I want you to know something tonight. It's not always convenient to catch fish. It's not always comfortable to catch fish. It's hard work to catch fish. And therefore, let me say to this wonderful church family tonight, as a church, each of you are faced with a choice this week, and this is the choice that you're going to be faced with. What will we do with our nets? Are we going to keep them on the shore when it's the will of God for us to have them in the sea? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 4 says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is gained by the strength of an ox. I am afraid we're at the point in our Baptist churches tonight that we had rather have a clean crib than to experience the strength of the ox. I've got an idea. Hey, let's keep the ox and clean the crib. Keep the ox and clean the crib. I am afraid what was said about the ox in Proverbs 14 can certainly be said of many, many missions outreaches today in churches across America. In most cases, I'm afraid churches had rather have their clean nets than to have catching nets. I'm afraid in most churches today, they'd rather the nets remain unused as opposed to be used of God. But hear me tonight. Those nets were created to catch fish. They were never created to stay on the shore. They were intended to be put in the sea. And every ministry of this church, are you listening to me tonight? Every ministry of this church is a net that God Almighty has designed to reach fish, to reach souls with the gospel. That's why it's so important, if you're a member of the choir, to be faithful to choir practice. That's why it's so important, if you teach a Sunday school class, to be faithful every single week. Look, even when your classmates don't come to church, they ought to be able to see you here whenever they decide to come to church. That's why every single one of us ought to be soul winners for God's honor and glory and get involved in the ministry of your local Bible-believing church. church, because God wants to work through every ministry of this church. The soul winning, the Sunday school, the outreach. God wants to work through every ministry of this church to snag fish, to catch souls for His honor and for His glory. That's why we have no other option but to not only to continue, but to increase what we are doing for world evangelism in the coming days. Can I ask you this, and I'll give you my last point and I'm through. What are you doing with your nets? What are you doing with your nets? God intends for your nets to be in the sea. Take them off the shore. Yes, it may be inconvenient. You may have to get out of your comfort zone. But instead of your nets remaining on the shore, put them in the sea and hold nothing back. The obedience that was marginal. The objects that were misplaced. And finally, we see the opportunity that was wasted. According to the verses before us, even though, according to verse 6, a great multitude of fishes were caught in the one net that was let down, I want to invite you to consider the opportunity that was missed by failing to let down all the other nets. A miracle could have been an even mighty miracle, even mightier miracle, if Peter would have got out of his comfort zone and let down every net that he had. In fact, according to verse 6, the Bible goes on to great lengths to teach us that since Peter only let down one net, that one net broke. Isn't that what your Bible says? The one net broke. Therefore, can you just imagine how many of those fish that were originally caught in that one net got away when the one net broke? Oh, if only Peter would have let down all the nets. I see an opportunity that was wasted. And church, can I tell you tonight, God has placed before you this week a great opportunity. You have been given an opportunity this week as a church family to launch out into the deep. And God sent me here to admonish you tonight. Hold nothing back. Let down the nets. Don't just do that's convenient. Don't just settle for good. Seek God's best. Just don't settle for that's comfortable. Oh, hold nothing back. Don't be afraid. Exercise your faith. Refuse to settle for good when God desires to give you what's best. I'll show you this. I'm through. Now remember, Peter had just witnessed a miracle of the Lord. Now it could have been better, but it was still a mighty miracle. Now if he wouldn't have missed the opportunity, I believe Peter would have fallen at the feet of the Lord Jesus, praising Him and giving Him glory. But can I show you why I know that Peter realized that he missed it? Peter realized that he missed it. Can I show you why? Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, let me tell you what he didn't say. Hallelujah, Lord, praise God, man, this camp meeting's great. Hallelujah, this is, I've never seen it. This is great, Lord. That's not what Peter said. Simultaneously, at the same time, a great multitude of fishes were caught. I believe the Holy Ghost reminded Peter, what about those other nets? Just think of what you could have seen if you would have determined to hold nothing back. Just think what you could have seen if you took God at His word, trusting that He would give through you what He would never give to you. Just think of what you could have seen, Peter. But now you've got all those nets. They're clean. Boy, I tell you, any fisherman alive today, they'd be impressed with those. They're so clean. They're so nice. They're tucked away. They're neat. They're ready to go for the next time. But Peter, can you even imagine the number of fish that got away because you wanted your comfort more than you wanted a catch? Peter realized that. Can I show you how I know? Latter portion of verse 8. When Peter fell on his knees before the Lord Jesus, notice what he said. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I have obeyed, but I have obeyed marginally. And now, whereas I can see the great multitude that was caught, Lord, I absolutely know that there were more that were missed than they were caught, because I only obeyed marginally. Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Now, of course, God went on to use the Apostle Peter in a mighty way. But can I tell you this? And I'm through. I believe every day of his life, for the rest of his life on this earth, can I tell you what I believe Peter thought of? What could have been? I tell you one thing. I don't want to get to the end of my life and think about what could have been if I would have only obeyed wholly. God, get us to the point that we would refuse to settle for good when God wants to give us what's best. You've listened so well. Would you bow your head?
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week, brought to you by Macedonia World Baptist Missions. Macedonia is a faith-based missions agency that is committed to assisting the local church in reaching the world with the gospel. For more information about Macedonia World Baptist Missions, visit us online at www.mwbm.org. If you would like a copy of today's message in its entirety, you may contact Dr. Caudle via his website at drscottcaudle.com. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next Saturday at this same time for the Sermon of the Week.